Connecticut is intended only for mature audiences.
You.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm actually really good.
Yeah? Yeah. What are you feeling over there? Give me that energy, man.
I'm really excited to have someone in the studio with us.
Yes. I know. I mean, I love talking to you
all the time.
It kind of gets old.
Sorry, thanks. Such a bitch. She's such a fucking bitch. No,
Thank you.
You pat yourself on the back. I don't even want to waste time talking about what's been going on with our days because it doesn't really matter. Because we have someone in the studio that is a very dear, like, old school friend of mine who needs no introduction, really. If you don't know who he is, you've been living under a fucking rock. He's one of the most famous people on the planet. I'm not even going to go down your list of movies because it's just ridiculous to even bother to go down if you are alive and your heart is beating and you will know who Corey fucking Feldman is.
So, fucking icon.
Welcome to Talk Scary to Me.
Welcome.
The fanfare. I see the explosion, the confetti everywhere.
Fireworks. The balloons drop.
Oh, I love it. Man, I love your spirit. Every time I encounter, you have the best spirit ever. I swear.
Like a ball of fucking light and sunshine. And just because so we're seeing what's on your table right now. Speaking of a ball of light and fucking sunshine and a giant heart. Giant heart.
I brought my biggest heart on for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we had that button still.
Oh my god, I know. I miss those buttons.
We used to have this little Zoom that like we had these little, that's where that little jingle comes from at the opening of our show. We had like six buttons to choose from when we were doing this
when
out of
we
my
were
house.
Recording.
Sound effects.
Yeah, we had six.
We literally would just touch all these buttons when we first started this podcast.
Yeah. And then dun-dun-dun. And then what else was there? There was like clapping.
Yeah, there was clapping applause. I love that.
We could never get it right. We could never get it right. So tell me what, let's just start with this
because
this is the box.
Every woman loves to talk about a nice box.
Yes, so does a man. Yes.
That's right, especially if it's a nice heart-shaped box. And this is a heart-shaped box full of love.
Yeah.
And it is the Love Left 2.1 box set.
Heck yes.
What we have right here is a collection of six discs. Six discs contained within, which are four CDs, two DVDs. And comprised of the remix and remastering of my very first album, Love Left, which came out in 1993 on an independent label. I have since bought the rights to the album and re-released it, remixed it, remastered it, re-engineered it, and re-released it.
I mean, you do everything.
Yes, seriously.
You just do fucking everything.
Thank you. Well, I do have partners. I don't do it all myself.
Well,
I
but
try.
It's your mastermind.
It's
all there.
Obsessive compulsive.
Yes.
You
I
know,
understand.
Power control freak. Yes, you get it.
Yes.
Okay, so, but no, I do have my dear, dear working partner, Greg Sartiano, who is like the other half of my brain, and he works with me dedicated in my studio, lives literally in my home.
Wow.
Like, that's how dedicated this is because our studio is in the home. Mm-hmm. And so it's literally, you know, I've had like Fred Durst sleeping on my floor. You know what I'm saying?
It's
like, this
sick.
Is this
can
is
you invite, can you just call but you
the craziness
I mean,
of my life.
You have partnered with, can you go down the list a little bit of who you've collaborated with?
Oh my God. And that's the greatest
it's
thing.
Fucking insane.
Yeah, that's the greatest thing about this box set because, okay, well, obviously it doesn't cover all my music because I've now put out like seven individual albums.
Okay. Holy shit, I didn't know it was that much. Holy crap.
Yes. So this is my first album, and because this is such a big project, there's four CDs, so now you could technically say I've put out 11 albums.
Wow.
But that said, the seventh album is in here, and it's a brand new album, which is called Love Left 2, mm-hmm. Army with Love. So it's a sequel to the original album.
Okay.
So the original album came out in 1993, 1994, and it was mostly comprised of like film soundtracks because at that time there was no independent labels really. There was really no way to get your stuff out to the mainstream. I mean, you could print up 1,000 CDs and like hand them out to people or like sell them at autograph shows, but that was about as far as it was going to go because nobody would pick up distribution if you didn't have a label behind you. There was no such thing.
Right.
Until iTunes came around. you know, and podcast and pods and iPods and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the whole world and the whole game changed and self-distribution mm-hmm. became a reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I put out an album in 1993, which was basically a compilation of a few film soundtracks that I had done up until that point, and then a few original songs that I threw together at the last minute, because the guy who had produced two of my films for a company called Movie Store, which at the time was also called Planet Productions. Before it became the Movie Store, it was Planet Productions. Planet Productions, the producer actually produced Children of the Corn.
Okay.
Wow.
And a bunch of those kind of 80s, early 90s movies. Well, he had produced a movie of mine, which was originally titled Happy Campers.
Okay.
Second movie I shot out of rehab when I got my life together in the late 80s. And he was producing the movie, and he heard my music, and he said, "Man, what are you going to do with that?" And I said, "Well, I want to put out an album." And I said, "By the way, of course, I want music in the soundtrack," which we didn't do for that movie.
Right.
But he's like, "Well, I can't do it for this movie because it's, you know, we can't even afford it. It's all cheesy kind of licensed whatever.
Right.
But what we will do is we will help you get this album out." And I was like, "Great." So he's like, "Okay, we're going to just print 1,000 copies. Just get me the best 9 songs you have." Now, here's the thing. I had started recording in 1986. So 1986 was my very first recording when I was living at my dad's apartment, working on Lost Boys, working on Lost Boys, and hanging out with Michael Jackson.
Right.
And I recorded this song at some dude's apartment,
right.
And the song
sound
is called
quality is like,
terrible, but it's called Runaway.
Mm.
And the irony of it is that it was right before I ran away and got emancipated.
Mm.
So this was like kind of this beckoning call, if you will, and foretelling of a story of the future.
Yeah.
And I actually wrote a 15-minute short film, which was the Runaway video, which I then put together, directed, shot, and choreographed a dance scene and did this whole thing. And I don't know if you ever got to meet Majestic. Did you ever get to meet Majestic?
Yes.
And he was like best friends with Michael Jackson.
Yes,
he looked like Little Richard.
Yes, 100%.
So, okay. And he was a character. But he died, unfortunately,
I see, like,
of cancer.
Purple blazer. I don't know why. Okay,
yes,
I got it.
Yes, his little purple boots he would wear and the little curl. Yeah, okay. So anyway.
I remember.
How excited you guys are about this.
Day. Oh, my God. Such a character, this guy. But anyway, so I was introduced to him by Michael Jackson. He plays the main bad guy who's like, you know, his name was Blackjack and he was like the killer pimp. And
oh my God,
the video starts off with me like laying in a gutter in an alley, and you see this like little kid, and he's like, you know, the guy's hand comes in and he like pulls back a newspaper like, "Gee, what's this perfectly good white boy doing laying in the trash?" You know, sort of a thing. and he's like, "You know, what are you doing out here?" And I'm like, "I'm a runaway." And he says, "Oh, you can do better than this. I'm going to get you some clean clothes and get you some money and some food and get you off the streets." And I'm like, "Great." So he helps me out. He takes me up to this apartment. And then you find out that the apartment is actually a big sex trade thing. It's like a sex trafficking thing where there's like a couple henchmen and there's some cute girl, and the girl I guess is also probably underage, and they take the two of us and they throw us in a room, they tie us up, throw us in a room and say, "We're gonna give you drugs and make you have sex and perform acts of sex for us."
Holy shit.
And we're like, "What the hell?" So then it cuts. You know, you don't see what happens. And then like a few seconds later, the door smashes open. And instead of the, you know, beat up, torn up kid that's the runaway on the street, you see the rock star Corey Feldman come out, and he's kicking ass and dancing and singing. And, you know, it's like very, you know, kind of Michael Jackson, 1986 circa bad, where he goes from like the punk kid who gets beat up to like the rock star.
For
you know,
that
same kind of idea. Ironically, though, it came out, or it would have come out before Bad. We'd shot it before Bad was out, and I don't know if Michael and I were talking storylines, and that's how it happened.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
I don't remember exactly, but I just know that they're very similar storylines.
Interesting.
Very similar story lines. So anyway.
Can we see this anywhere?
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
So years later, I was able to salvage the music video part of it. Unfortunately, the 10 minutes of written dialogue and interactive scenes that lead up to the music part of it has gone by the wayside. So I'll never find it again.
Shit.
It's gone in my dad's, you know, collection of dust somewhere. Right. but that said, I was able to salvage just the music video part. It is available on my YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
For free.
Amazing.
For those who want to see
it. I'm going
to
see it
right after. Yeah, we're going to watch
and,
it.
And it's in this box set in a very nice HD format on a DVD.
Dope.
So we've released it, you know, in physical format for the very first time, as well as the song itself, Runaway, which is available now for the first time ever on this CD in a digital format, but not digitally because none of it's been released digitally. But that said, we are talking about possibly releasing the entire box set digitally over the summer.
Oh.
So as of right now, the only way you can hear any of this music or see
to buy
any
it
of the
on
videos
your website,
is to
right?
buy the physical box set, which is available at my website.
I mean, you guys want
CoreyFeldman.net.
You want to buy the physical box set.
Yeah, right. We got to see the sneak peek.
I mean,
that it's cool.
It's big.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
It's big and hard.
Our audience
likes
love big
that,
and
right?
hard.
I mean,
it's pretty too. We like it.
It's a really pretty one, isn't it?
It's really pretty, Corey.
Yeah.
Really pretty.
I've been told that so many times. I got to tell you.
Why am I not surprised?
No, it's beautiful. And the thing is, it's like, it's kind of reminiscent of the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Like late 60s. It's got that whole psychedelic kind of vibe.
My favorite.
Very kind of Beatlesque, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we went ahead and we put together this compilation of these great moments, and we got interviews with all the people who were a part of it, except for, like, unfortunately, Alfonso. I haven't seen him in years, but him and I did one of my very first demos together, which is for
I
It's
saw,
So Simple.
It's amazing.
And It's So Simple is a song that still to this day we close every single concert with, and it's a song that I wrote when I was 15 years old. It was probably the third song that I ever wrote. And the first time it was performed was on an after-school special with Drew Barrymore, Tatum O'Neill, and Dante, the kid from Hook, Dante Bosco. And all of us sang It's So Simple together in 1986. It was a movie about kids in a drug rehab called 15 and Getting Straight.
I probably auditioned for it.
Yeah, probably. I was going to say, were you in a demo?
So the thing is, we did this and we all sang my song. And then, you know, Alfonso and I went and recorded a proper demo of it. So we have the original demo versions of it here in the rarities and the unreleased material stuff on the CDs. And then we also have a clip of all of us singing it from the after school special. Then we have the next song, Something in Your Eyes, which I actually sang as my very first television performance ever on the very first Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Yes. How crazy is that?
That is so crazy.
And that doesn't even exist anymore, does it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it.
Of course.
They're going to get rid of that.
That's
now
good.
They have, like, Jim Carrey hosting it.
Right.
It's a huge thing. But, like, so back then, it was Will Wheaton and Nicole Eggert introducing me. If you can imagine that. So we have that in HD for the very first time on this box set.
Like, I used to see you perform when we did the Hollywood Hoopsters. Do you remember?
That's right.
So
Henry Penzi.
That's right. So Corey and I were in this, like, back in the day. There was a lot of that stuff
going on. Michael Marish, of course.
Of course.
Yes.
There was a group of actors that would travel to different schools, and we would play basketball against the school basketball team to raise money for the school.
Wow.
And we would get on these buses or these flights, and we would go and do that. And at the halftime, I guess it's called halftime in basketball? Yeah, halftime.
You guys performed?
Yeah.
Corey would perform.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I would come out and do, like, a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always. So it was like we got to sort of, I mean, it was such
a mini performance.
Yes.
A mini performance.
I wonder what those trips
you know
were
what?
Like.
You know what that was
you
about?
Guys, all you little ones
dude.
Getting in
Corey
trouble
was never, he was never around.
Right. Okay.
You were like, he was in a different hotel from what I remember.
Yeah.
Totally separate because I don't know if you were
you
already like clean
want,
and
can,
straight. Or
no, I wasn't. I was a mess. But you know what it was? I'll tell you what. I was having fun.
We were all partying.
No, I was partying too, but I was just, you know, had to keep my bubble. But the reason why is because I sucked at sports.
Oh.
And that's why I wasn't part of it. It was never because, like, I thought I was better than anybody or anything like that.
No, I mean, like, the after parties just, and stuff.
Well, because a lot of times I would leave right after.
Of course,
you know, because I was just there for the performance. Yeah. So I would perform and then I would leave. But the reason why and the reason I wasn't with you guys as a group was because I sucked at sports.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go out there and play basketball and look like a buffoon?
You could have cheerleaded with us.
Okay.
Like me.
Danielle.
It was me, Soleil.
Not gay. All right.
You don't have to be gay to be a cheerleader.
Is that true?
I don't think you do.
How many non-gay cheerleaders do you know?
I don't know any guy cheerleaders.
I don't know.
Exactly my point.
So we would do these.
So if you're out there and you're listening and you're a non-gay cheerleader, call in right
Please
now.
Write in.
But you know what? It might be a way to meet girls.
It is a perfect
Great
way.
Way to meet girls.
I mean, you're literally like, you know, with all the fucking cheerleaders.
I'm saying you're the only option at
that
point.
Those are the smart ones.
Kind of like the hairdressers and the makeup artists, right?
Absolutely.
Like, no, I'm not gay, but I get to talk to all the hot girls all day.
My hairdresser now is gay, but my hairdresser before wasn't, and he was always had all the girls.
They're always gorgeous.
The oh yeah.
They're so hot.
Can we talk? Okay. This is amazing. I love this.
Got it.
This is
new album, new single. Can I just finish with
Yes, please.
So we have a single out right now called Comeback King.
Yes.
I don't know
yes.
if you've had a chance
yes.
to hear it, see the video.
Yes, I did.
The video went viral. Very exciting.
Yes.
We are putting out a remix right now with a remix video, which should be launching probably before this ever airs. So I should probably say, yes, we put out a remix video and it was really cool. And we're getting ready to put out my very next single. And the next single is, I think, going to be our biggest hit yet. I think it's the most mainstream pop song I've ever done.
Cool.
Which is kind of crazy.
You kind of are all over the place with your genres. Like whatever you're feeling, you just do.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, actually,
you can do anything.
You know what it is? It's that I hear a melody in my head. And I go and I jot it down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I try to give it life. And when the musicians kind of really hear what I'm doing, or if I can articulate it into a musical structure and play it for them properly, and we get a really good base of what that song is going to be, then it comes out the way I envisioned it, or it comes out even better, and I feel really proud of it. But you just don't know.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Sometimes you hear a melody and you hear something in your head and you think, this is going to be great. And then you hear it back and you're like, it's cool, but it's not
what you
top
thought,
40, or it's not this, or it's not that.
Right.
So I'm not going to classify it or categorize it. I'll just put it to the shelf and say, at some point it'll join the collection.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Which is why when you listen to my albums, a lot of people like the fact that, you know, a lot of pop artists, you listen to one song and then you listen to the next song and it's like the same thing but like different lyrics.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For sure.
But with my albums, when you put it on, it is an adventure. Most of them are concept albums.
Right.
So they tell a story. Like this album, ironically, before this whole Ukraine war started, the album is called Love Left 2, Arm Me With Love. Mm. And it's literally war sounds at the beginning of this album. And you hear like the battlefield and you hear all this stuff going on and it's about like trying to find peace, trying to find love, trying to find happiness and harmony in the middle of all of this insanity
COVID. Perfect timing
to
for it to come out.
To all this stuff, exactly. So it really fits the hammer on the head. And the new single is called Without You. Maybe we can find a
Who
way
is
to play
without
this.
You? Who is? Who is the person?
Well, it was written about my wife.
Okay.
About
she's
my current
so
wife,
lovely.
Courtney.
Yes.
Thank
I
you.
Love Courtney. Yes. Oh, I love Courtney.
And she's actually a big part of this album. She's
of course.
A big, she's on the
she's
back.
Your wife. They're part of, I mean,
she's
you know.
On the back cover. You can't see it right now, but I'll show you later. But she's on the back cover of the album. Oh, there's actually, there's a song.
I saw, yeah.
A song dedicated to her. Called Oh Courtney.
Yes.
Which I wrote for her for our wedding anniversary.
How many years are you married now?
We've now been married 5 years.
5 years. Good,
yes.
Good.
Our 5 year anniversary.
Amazing.
This year. And yes, she's also a background singer on it.
Right.
And of course, on the tour, she's a keyboard player, DJ, and singer.
Jesus.
So she does a lot.
She
wears a lot of hats. And she runs the video component because she does
oh
everything.
Oh my gosh.
She runs everything through her board. It
wow.
all kind of runs through
Whoa.
The board. It's pretty crazy. And then it's live music on top
but
of all that.
But you have to be with somebody that can do a million things at once.
Well,
right?
Yes, of course.
Otherwise, you'd be bored out of your mind.
Listen,
I mean, could you imagine?
Her main thing is she's a health coach, which has nothing to do with any of this.
Huh.
But But she's like really, really good
she's
at what
given
she does.
She's given me some great advice.
Good.
Like what? Tell me what.
I'm not gonna get into it. I don't get into my really deep shit. Okay. We first met at a London con, and Courtney was like, "You need to come out with us." And you guys ended up going to a strip joint.
Okay.
And I ended up going with you guys, and the advice that Courtney gave me at this place, and I remember looking at the strip joint, and I was just like, and I was crying. I was like, oh my God, this advice is just amazing. Aww. It was like such a spectacular.
Only Courtney can turn a strip club into a spiritual adventure.
Literally. Right? Yeah, it was exactly. So amazing. It was so great.
Yeah.
You have tours coming
out,
too.
Yeah, what are your tours?
Yes, the new tour. We're so excited. So the official tour starts in August. Okay. I believe it's like around August 14th or 15th. We start in Texas.
Oh, I'm going to be there. That's where I'm moving.
No, we have to go. We have to go together. Okay
so we're
I'll
doing,
fly
we're
out.
Doing
fly
a big
out.
One in San Antonio,
okay. Oh, cool.
Which is going to be a con, which you should be at.
Sure.
And it's going to be called Santa Carla Summer.
Okay. Mm.
And it's basically, they're turning like the I don't know if it's like the parking lot into the boardwalk from the movie Lost Boys.
Oh, wow.
And they're going to try and bring a couple of the other Lost Boys guys. Yeah. But they're also going to have other actors from other projects and stuff there as well signing. So it's a big signing thing, a big con. And then we're going to perform on the final night, the big kind of finale.
We'll totally be there.
Big concert.
Let's road trip it.
Really
seriously,
come to me,
I'm
we'll
down.
Road trip
I'll come
it.
To you, we'll road trip.
Fucking awesome.
Totally fun.
Front row Corey Feldman concert.
You know it!
Yes!
So mid-August, that's going to happen. But we're also talking about doing, and this hasn't been officially announced yet because I'm trying to put it together, but I'm trying to do a kind of 50th anniversary celebration live on stage pay-per-view event to kick off the tour, which would happen at the end of July. Don't have that one locked in yet. So as soon as I do, I'll get you guys more updates and info on that. Because I'd love you to, of course, attend that one because it's going to be very special. We're trying to get everybody who performed with me through the years. So let me just quickly talk about that.
Yes.
So in this album, in this box set, we have Mickey Thomas, Michael Damian, John Preston, Alfonso Ribeiro, Lita Ford.
Yes, Lita.
Roberta Freeman from Pink Floyd and Guns N' Roses.
Damn.
I mean, Blazar. It's kind of an endless list of people. Dean Pleasance from Suicidal Tendencies.
Mm. Jeez.
There's a lot of
You've collaborated with a lot of fucking people.
Oh, Don Dokken, of course. Right. And I was telling you before we were on air, but Don Dokken, you know, rocking with Dokken, the man, the legend, the myth, was responsible for actually making this happen. Because he was the one who transferred all of my 2-inch old school tapes analog into digital. And the way that happens is by baking them in an oven, which is this crazy process.
Believe this.
Yeah, it's so cool. So basically you take your old inch tapes, your old 2-inch tapes, you stick them in an oven. But there's this whole process beforehand where you have to meticulously clean them inch by inch with chemicals and like, you know, Q-tips and all this stuff.
Whoa.
So we had this like professor come in, do all the cleansing. That took months to get it all cleaned up because there was mold, there was rat, all this stuff. You know, they're 30 years old. And then you bake it, you get all the magnets to jump back into place, and you've got one shot, if you get it right, because it doesn't always work. But if it works properly, you get one shot with everything run in place the way that it's supposed to be. You put it through the digital transfer by putting it on an old reel-to-reel machine and connecting it to a digital, you know, readout. And you literally get one play through. And if it doesn't catch the first time, you're screwed because it falls apart. And then you'll never be able to do it again. So you've got one shot at it. And luckily, we restored everything.
Oh, my God.
So we got all those original masters, and that's how we're releasing, you know, like I said, there's four discs, and one disc is 18 songs of never-before-released material, which includes music from my soundtrack, Rock and Roll High School Forever, Dream a Little Dream, Dream a Little Dream 2, National Lampoon's Last Resort. All these movies that I put music into that never put out a soundtrack album, we're releasing it for
You've
the first time.
Damn, get it, everybody. Get it. I want
there's
one.
There's the old album. And then there's the new album, which has 18 songs, including the brand new single, Comeback King, featuring Curtis Young, who's Dr. Dre's son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. He's super talented, by the way. He's going to be a big, huge breakout rapper. I know it. So that's the box set. And
Are
then we're going on tour
too?
With it. Well, for
Maybe.
You,
for me.
Obviously. Duh.
Yay.
Very exciting. That's what I'm up
to. I'm happy for you. You're up to a lot.
Yes.
But you got it. I love it.
Yes.
We
love
you.
Yeah,
thank
that was
you.
Great.
Well, we love
this
you guys,
awesome.
too.
that was so cool.
Can I ask you? Glad to be here with both of you.
I know.
We're glad we finally made something.
Yes.
And I talk about the free pair of sunglasses?
No,
no, you didn't.
Those are pretty rad, though.
You know the old school Ray-Bans like I used to wear?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're wearing
like you're right now. Yeah. Your signature.
Jeez, I didn't even realize I was wearing them.
Every time I see you with those shades on, I love them.
Anyway, we're giving a free pair away with, you know, it says love left on the side of it.
Heck yeah.
All right, we're done talking about this.
Oh, I love it. It's so groovy, guys, and it's so beautiful.
And we're going to be putting your stickers on our laptops. We're just starting
to. Yeah, I know. I literally was thinking of that. I was like, can I grab one of those stickers?
I love it.
So we were talking earlier. We haven't gotten a guy. I've only got my husband's opinion on this. We're talking about this, like, the new wave of sex toys.
So fucking weird.
So I had heard about the blowjob machine.
What now?
It's like a blowjob machine. It's like a blowjob machine, and I bought it. I was like, I just want to buy it and try it.
I'm not into drugs, all right? Let me just say that. I don't do blow.
No, stop right there. I don't either.
Okay.
But it's a blowjob machine.
Oh, I see. You get a job for the blow.
Yeah. And I guess you use it with VR glasses and hooks to porn, and then you can attach it to your woman, can have her glasses on, and then you can control her vibrator from afar. So you can like play, interact with each other from other places.
All right. Do you have toys?
No. Oh, we always ask this.
See?
No.
See, I told you it's not as common as you think that men have toys.
We always ask our male, because we always, most of our shows are mostly guys. If I need toys,
yes. We've got issues. If my wife needs toys, she's got issues. I've got issues.
But what about if my wife needs toys, I've got issues.
That's a whole
needing and wanting are different, that's a whole other story.
Well, let's just say this much. I believe firmly that a man should be capable of making his girl,
of course,
you know, orgasm, right? And if not, then there's kind of a bigger problem.
Yeah, of course.
Now, that said, does she, you know, have to satisfy herself sometimes?
Yes.
I'm sure she does, you know, but obviously that's...
Do you not know if she does?
Well, I mean,
She references it,
but it's not something that, like,
we don't talk about, like, oh, boy, when you write the story, I mean, I just masturbated.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
because exactly.
You'd be like, what the fuck? Why didn't you wait for me?
No, I think... You know what? We're not like... We don't have any jealousy.
Right.
We don't have any jealousy. So it's more like... You know, like, hey, we didn't get to have sex last night before we went to bed. Sorry.
Right.
I was, like, caught in the studio.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's in bed waiting for me forever and then passed out.
Of course.
And then just decided, screw it.
And has a vibrator under her bed or whatever.
Of course. You know, so. Mm-hmm. Yes. She does have one. She uses it from, you know, brief occasions from time to time when we just, our schedules can't or whatever. But does she use it during sex? No. Because there's never really a need to.
Right.
Because I make sure that, you know.
Right.
Most of the time. Now, there are times where I'm selfish.
Right.
But I try to always kind of make sure that she's taken care of.
Right.
If she wants it. Sometimes she doesn't want it. Sometimes she just wants me to get off and you know, go to bed.
We always talk about this. And I don't feel like a lot of men understand. I'm the same way. I'm like, it still feels good to have sex.
Right.
Even if it's short. Like, I feel like we're connected.
Right.
Something
it doesn't
spiritually
need to be
happens.
An orgasm. And guess what? I don't always orgasm either.
That's another thing, which is,
because I'm not your average guy, right? But it's because sometimes it's a brain thing, of course. Sometimes
it's
I got too much mental. And it doesn't mean that I'm not there 100%.
Right.
And like, I'm aroused, I'm ready, we're having a good time. But then all of a sudden I realize like, oh man, it's getting late. Or she's kind of spacing out and not completely there.
The classic space out.
Right. Whatever it is. And then I'll be the one to stop and be like, honey, you're not really here right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep going.
Yeah.
Because I'm
not
one
fun
of those
for anybody at that point.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just cuddle and go to sleep and figure it out in the morning.
Exactly.
So I like that you said that because my concern with all these new gadgets that are coming out.
Yeah.
That we're desensitizing ourselves. Yeah, we're gonna lose our interest with like
the real
human
thing.
And human interaction.
Right. Yeah,
I mean we've already.
But it's kind of like social media,
I use
right?
my vibrator too much. It's hard for me
to get back to normal. And that's why I don't, you know, promote it. That's why I don't like bringing it into the bedroom because I think that it becomes an addiction.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a distraction.
Yes.
Because, and you're right. Because what happens is
it's distracting the woman.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Not only distracting the woman, but making the woman feel like that's her only option to have an orgasm. And once she kind of buries that into her subconscious, then it makes it really hard for her to get back to the idea of physical connection.
I've had that problem. I've had that problem. Yeah. It's very, very hard to get back.
Yeah.
I agree
so,
with you
so that's why I literally try to discourage women from using it unless they need to.
Right.
Like, if you need to and your man isn't taking care of business, then absolutely take care of yourself.
Right, right.
But if you do have a man that is conscious.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And cares enough to, to make sure that you're satisfied, then, you know, be honest with him and let him know, like, hey, honey, I'm not there yet.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I
But also, some people are just freaks and love fucking gadgets, man. They're just like,
that's
bring
true.
It on, let's
that's true.
Go.
Hey, I know people that use an excessive amount of lube.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's another thing.
Wow. Like, all I think of is bladder infections.
Oh, my God.
See, I hate lube. I hate lube. I don't want to go. Yes. I
can't stand it. I'm always
totally
where do I wipe
the anti-lube?
Can you give me your underwear? I don't. This is so gross.
The wetter the better.
So I know.
I'm like, whatever.
Really? You're all like,
let's go.
No, but see, I think spit can take care of that.
Yeah, of course.
Spit takes care of the problem.
Spit takes care of everything.
So again, it's like,
spit on it.
This is the difference, though. It's the difference between a man who is conscious of his wife or woman's needs, right? And somebody who's like completely ignorant and self-obsessed. Because when they're ignorant and self-obsessed, like, hand me the lube, I'll take care of this. You know what I mean? As opposed to, I got you, honey. Don't worry.
Right,
I'm not going in dry.
Right, right,
no
right.
matter what.
Yeah.
And that's the key, right?
Listen, of course, fellas, listen. Don't go in dry.
I mean, don't do it, like, man. Don't do it. You're going to kill the girl. Like, and then you wonder why she can't go all night. Well, geez, it's only been 10 minutes and you're wiped out. Well, yeah, because you've been sandpapering me, for God's sake. Right, I get it.
I'm like a vibrator G-spot girl, though.
Okay.
So, like, that for me are my strongest orgasms.
I think I'll have a talk with your husband and teach him a few tricks.
Oh, no, he does. No, he, trust me. He's the only one that ever got me off from going down on me. So,
good. So he knows.
He
but
totally
I'm saying, like,
knows.
With the fingers. There's, like, certain things that you can do that
emulate
a vibrator.
Oh, no, no. I don't mean
and,
a dildo.
No. Oh.
No, no.
You
vibrator.
Mean like a little vibrator.
Yeah, and his fingers, G-spot. Oh, yeah. No, no. He
but
hits
I'm
it in 2 seconds.
But I'm saying you can do the
you
same thing.
You can do both,
thing,
yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Without the vibrator.
Yes. No, right. I know. I,
you know that one?
Of course I do. Okay. I know that
How do you think
one.
Her two sons were created?
Well, hopefully
created,
not with fingers.
They were created in a petri
if they were,
dish.
Hey, wait a minute. You
actually.
Had, he, wait, he came through his fingers? What kind of sex is this?
Why does my mind just go to E.T.?
I don't know. That's so weird. Have you seen? Okay, so this new blowjob machine doesn't really work, apparently.
Oh, yeah, this fucking machine.
Because my husband's dick keeps getting it keeps
oh,
getting it turns it off.
You've
he just
tried
he tried it,
it
and okay. it shuts it off, it gets jammed.
I'm sure he really appreciates you telling everybody this.
Well, probably. I mean, but he found this thing the other day. We were here. I love Howard Stern. So we were you've been on Howard a bunch of times, right?
Back in the day.
So
back
we were
day.
We
not
were
not anymore. I
not anymore. Yeah. So we were listening. So there's this new now they're moving towards ball sex stuff. So there's this thing. Let me show you this picture.
Just see that fucking thing.
Wait, what?
That's the balls.
So
in that
you put
thing.
Your balls
okay.
in something, and then it has a tip on it. So basically, your balls become you have
your dick.
Your balls become your dick, and you're
wait,
putting it inside. Your,
really?
Yeah.
So wait, you put that in the woman?
Yeah.
Yes.
In her butt?
No,
in
her
vagina.
But then what do you do
the
with
balls?
The other thing?
Well, yes, you have your hand.
No, I'm saying, what do you do with your penis?
Yeah, you have your hand.
Apparently, it's like the new thing.
I mean,
it's
you
the
can
new thing.
Jerk yourself off and be having sex with your nuts
Why
at the same
in God's
time.
God's sakes,
I
would you want
know.
To do that?
This sounds awful, right?
It sounds terrible.
But it's fascinating. I never even thought about
it
this.
Sounds like the worst idea I've ever heard.
You wouldn't want to cram your balls inside of
no.
Courtney's vagina?
No, look at why don't I use my ears to get a good look at you? I mean, what the hell is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of?
I mean, that this is like the new wave of
Hold
sex
on, I'm
going
to go clean out my ears so I can get a good gander at you. I'm getting some glasses for my earlobe. I'll be right back. Like, what the...
Yeah, weird.
Dude,
all right.
Kids are fucking nuts nowadays. Kids are nuts.
I think you're
I don't
just
know
looking for
is.
Any way
anything.
To get a thrill.
Anything.
Yeah, any way to get a thrill.
Anything.
Let me
yes.
tell you something. Here's what I'm waiting for.
Oh.
Because I've heard
Someone's
it's
gonna
in the
create
works.
It now
I've heard it's in the works. The real doll that moves and talks and like... interacts. Have you heard about this? They
no.
have a, so you know about the real doll.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah.
That's the one that Howard has had
yeah.
forever
yeah.
since the 90s. So yeah. they made an automated version of it where it actually, you know, gives you a blowjob. It has, you know,
so it's
sex
a robot. It's just a robot.
It's a robot. It's a sex robot.
It's a, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Now that one I would be almost willing to try, but I'm still afraid. Like, what happens if it,
what
like,
if you fall in, okay.
What happens if it shuts down in the middle of, like, sex and your dick is caught in there?
Do you
and
ever
you're
think
like,
about
ah, how do I run down the street with this thing attached to me? No, it's not a woman. Shoot it. Shoot it.
It's like sex,
this is a
sex
movie.
Sent
this
me
is
to
a
the
movie
ER.
Idea. This is a movie idea.
Right?
Do you ever get your blood pressure taken and worry that it's not going to open up?
You're
no.
gonna get stuck in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I always worry about that.
Same concept.
But your dick.
Now think about your dude's dick in that fucking mechanism,
dude. I'm sure people have done
so, Corey,
weird shit.
Let me tell you, I've talked to emergency room doctors who have told me stories about women and men coming in with things up their butt.
Well, they put the egg. Have you seen that? There's the egg. You put like an egg up your vagina or something.
Way.
You're like,
we're talking.
Yeah.
Hold on. Coke bottles. Coke bottles.
Wait, 2 liter?
Glass Coke bottles.
Glass. Oh, my God. What is wrong with people?
Right.
Glass.
People put glass Coke bottles up their butts.
Oh.
People put live animals.
Yes. I don't know how you get them there.
Women do that too.
They take a tube and they shove the tube up their butt
and then
the animal crawls. Yeah.
Women do that too though. They do that a lot in Thailand. They put things up at their vagina.
Well, I've seen like pink. I've heard
they also
like the ping pong.
They smoke out of their vagina out there.
Right. Yeah.
How do you inhale it?
Well, you can, but you're not actually getting
it.
Yeah,
you're not. You're not like actually.
It's not going to your lungs.
What do you mean?
There's no through line.
There's going to be like a new marketing for cigarettes now,
right?
Just
exactly.
to do it there.
Vagina smokes.
Yes, vagina smokes. Vagina slims right. instead of Virginia slims.
I like it.
Vagina slimes.
Yeah,
oh
baby.
My God, I love it.
Oh God.
So disgusting.
Snail trails.
Gross. Okay, this took a totally different turn. So we have some questions. So this is okay, wait, hold on. Okay, so this is kind of a funny question. I thought maybe you'd be able to answer this because I'm just curious. So this person says, hi, Danielle and Scout. When I met you both at a recent con, I promised I would check out on the podcast. I'm now 10 episodes in. So they have a question. How much say, if any, should your partner have in your personal grooming habits? My girlfriend is constantly asking me why I choose to shave my armpits and pubic area but keep the rest of my body au naturel. She says she doesn't mind, but I think we both know that would be a lie. I've never criticized or asked questions about her choice not to shave. Please advise. So how much, say, if any, should your partner have in
all
your personal grooming
everything.
Habits?
Really?
All. Absolutely.
Huh.
It's your partner. They're the ones that has to deal with the mess down there. Make it the way they want it. Right?
How do you
if
prefer
you're
prepar- it?
Listen, if you're preparing a feast
yes.
and you're cooking, are you going to go by what you want to eat or are you going to go by what your guests want to eat?
What your guests want to eat.
That's right. You want to make the presentation for them. It's about them.
Yeah, have you? So Scout's been with girls. I've never gone down on a girl. I've made out with lots
of
girls.
I've been
with
plenty of girls. I can tell you all about it.
Do you prefer, what do you prefer? Clean, totally shaved, trimmed, or au naturel? Or does it depend on the girl?
Yeah, it depends on the girl, honestly. It didn't. I mean, I've had a variety.
31 flavors.
So I feel like it never bothered me. I mean, I think more going down on a man bothered me because their hair
is thicker.
Just different. It's different.
Is it?
Yeah, and it gets caught in the back of your throat. So if you don't manage that,
oh no,
shit,
it's you're
more
right.
Just like a random fly hair gets caught back there.
I forgot about.
Dude,
but it happens to guys too.
It sucks.
It goes both
it
ways.
Sucks
it goes
when
both
it gets
ways.
All the way back there,
and you can't get it out.
Yeah.
But that said, my perspective. Uh-huh. I like it clean.
Yeah.
I like everything clean.
Okay.
I'm a very clean type person. But that said, landing strips are cute, you know.
Have you been with like colors? Like now girls like to like dye their landing strip, like
the
pink and the. I kind of want to try that.
I've seen the temporary, but I've never had an actual permanent colored one.
Okay.
I guess if that helps. Like on Halloween, I think we had a rainbow or something.
Remember when ladies were bedazzling?
Yes.
What?
Your vagina. Have you ever seen a bedazzled vagina?
Yes,
yeah.
Many times.
How
sure.
does it stay? They
I've,
just like,
I've bedazzled
it?
A few myself.
What did you bedazzle them with?
Well, usually, you know, you want the little rhinestones and
did
stuff like that.
Did you make a design?
That. Oh, yeah.
Maybe like a heart or a rainbow?
All
or...
sorts of things. I mean, you can either do it with several different stones or you can just take like one or two stones and make it, you know, kind of an accented thing. Or
I told you my
we
funny...
We need to do a poll. How many women have had a bedazzled vagina?
There you go. Or how many dazzled vaginas have had poles?
Yeah. Hey, jokes.
Did you ever put your pole up in your house?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
not
shit,
yet.
Girl.
Not yet. I'm going to. I went to Disney World, okay?
Oh, God.
I felt weird putting my pole up before
and then
Disney
going
World.
To
a stripper pole?
Yeah. Yeah. I had so many in my house. I was like, scout, take one.
That's nice. Wait, do you leave them up around your kids?
No, this is before I had kids.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no,
so
no.
Now she's passing down
kids
the torches.
Would be
she's
all
passing
about
them
it.
All down.
So me and my ex-wife used to have a sex swing.
Okay, wow.
That
see,
our friends
I'm
bought
interested.
Us. So our friends bought us a sex swing, you know, because we lived a very, my, you know, former life, we lived a very crazy open lifestyle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we would go to these crazy parties and, you know, we had crazy friends. And so until I had a kid, my life
right.
was insane.
Yes.
I mean, we did some crazy stuff and it was fun, a lot of fun. And so my friends thought, hey, since we all have our parties at your house and everybody goes back to your house,
just
let's
do it there.
Give you the big sex swing. So they bought me this apparatus. It was this giant thing. It took up like literally my whole bedroom.
Oh my
Whoa.
God.
Like it was this big black with all these pulls.
Holy
and it
shit.
Had a swing that came down in the middle and you could change out the seat and it could be any kind of seat you wanted. Some of them had
Whoa.
Harnesses and leg straps and some of them, had, you know, it was just.
Wow.
Yeah. Lots of adjustments.
I don't
want
to be
that.
So do you recommend those?
It was fun as a novelty.
Yeah, of
okay.
course.
It's,
yeah.
But there's so much obstruction with it, and it takes up so much land, so
right.
much property.
Do you really need all
in
that?
Your home, that it's like, you know, if you throw a lot of parties, it's a great party, you know, kind of gift
yeah.
thing, fun, whatever,
yeah.
right? Because
yeah.
everybody looks at it, and then somebody will go use it, and you'll be like, go ahead, have fun.
I wouldn't even know what
but,
I wouldn't even
but,
know what to
but,
bring to
but
his
that
house.
Said, but yeah. that said, once we
Flowers.
Had a kid... Once we had a kid, my wife's pregnant, and
oh.
we do like the, you know, the baby shower.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, what are we going to do with this thing? We can't have relatives coming up into our bedroom and seeing this giant monstrosity. In the
like they
our...
don't know.
No.
I mean,
no.
No.
Well, now they do.
No. Yeah,
they
well,
know.
But this is 15 years
yeah,
ago.
Course.
But I'm saying like, you know.
Wow.
What do you... So anyway.
I mean, she could nurse. She could lay in there and nurse him.
No,
and
no.
A baby's rocking.
No, no.
You don't need a rocker.
That is so wrong. That is just so wrong.
Multi-use.
No, oh no. God. So we, needless to say, we dismantled.
Oh,
and
where did it go?
Away.
Did it find
away.
A new home?
It went into the garage until I eventually found a willing candidate that wanted to adopt the sex wing. And we said, we'll come visit it. And we
never
did.
Never did, of course.
Oh, man.
Oh,
I can see you guys having a sex swing.
My husband's been wanting it forever. He wants like a dungeon. Every time there's like a spare
Christmas.
Room, he's like, "We'll be a dungeon."
Christmas
no, I
time.
Fucking kid. No, we. I don't need
and
any
your
of
new
that
house.
Stuff.
That's what you know he's
what
doing.
What are you
going
to do with a dungeon anyway?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm
are you into? Are you into S&M?
No,
no,
I do not like to be dominated.
No.
I do not like
See, I'm with
any
you.
Of that
None
stuff.
None of that stuff.
No,
right?
No, no.
If you had any trauma as a kid,
done. I don't want it.
The last thing you want is that shit.
Yeah. No. Thank you. We talk about this. I don't like to be tied up.
And this is a great topic. Let me tell you, because so many people. So many people want to say that if you've had abuse as a child, that you're going to go on to be an abuser.
No.
That is complete
yeah.
horse crap.
Bullshit.
Let me tell you something. When you were abused as a child, 99.9% of abuse victims grow up feeling like they want to protect
everybody.
Everybody.
Because yep.
they never want another person
yeah.
to have to go through the pain that they experienced.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that's why you break the cycle.
Yeah. yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's all about breaking the cycle,
yeah.
right? So it's like so crazy to me that the number one thing that pedophiles, predators, and protagonists of the sex trade who will all try to convince the public by gaslighting and saying, oh, if you're a victim or somebody that's been through it, then
right.
you're just going to continue the disease. You're going to continue the whatever and mm-hmm. keep hurting other people because it's a instant reaction that you've been hurt and you want to hurt other people.
Mm-mm.
These people don't know psychology.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't know the first thing about being a victim because when you're a victim, the last thing on your mind like you're worried, can I ever function normally?
Right.
Yeah.
Can
right.
I even adopt the idea of sex and be okay with
right.
it again?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you get one of the two. Either you're completely, introverted
mm-hmm.
and completely backwards mm-hmm. where to the point where you're so scared and, mm-hmm. and petrified of the idea of sexuality that you don't even want to broach the subject.
Yeah.
or you're the exact opposite and you're a freak. But if you're a freak, you're a freak under the terms of like anything can be done to me,
yeah. yep.
but I don't do anything to other
That's
people.
That's right.
Oh, we talked
you
about
You know,
this.
Both Scout and I were in SLAA, so we both
Which
have
is what? I'm
Sex
sorry.
And Love Addicts Anonymous.
Okay.
So we both 12-step programs. We both have had.
I'm sure I could have. I could have had permanent residency
you
there, but
could have.
I chose to go the other way and engage. Go ahead, bring it on. I like it. Let's keep it going.
No, that was us for years.
Yes,
so we were
exactly.
Like, help, whoa, help, whoa. Help us.
Somebody, right. please. What's going on?
Throw me a life raft.
Literally.
Yeah. You hit your bottom, and then you're like, "Fuck, I got to do something because I can't keep doing. It. Can't keep hurting myself."
But yeah, here you are talking about it anyway.
Yeah, but you know, at least you're like with. Your person and like because you still want to be able to experience that
of
stuff
course, of
yeah.
course.
But you just can't like you know
you
be
have to do it in a safe way
yourself.
In a safe way
yes.
in a safe way
yes.
and it is it, that's exactly right it's all about respecting
yeah.
yourself
100%
loving yourself
yes.
and being the best version of you that you can be
yeah
that's
absolutely.
What we should all strive for no matter what we've been through
yeah mm-hmm.
most beautiful people have been abused.
Yeah.
This is what, you know, when we were doing Corey's Angels, the reason why I created Corey's Angels is because I spent so much time at the Playboy Mansion and I saw how messed yeah. up all these girls' heads were.
Yeah.
Because 90% of the girls
it.
That were trying to become playmates
yeah.
really didn't even want to be taking their clothes off for
right.
a living. What
yeah.
they wanted was to be actresses or singers
course,
or
yeah.
dancers. They wanted some kind of legitimate career. So they thought, hey, I'll go do this and act like I'm okay with it. While I get what I really want.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, what they didn't realize is that, like, okay, if there's 1,000 girls that go up to that mansion and one gets picked every month to be a playmate,
yeah.
that means only 12 out of all the 1,000 of you
yeah.
is actually going to get a shot.
And what do you have to do to get
and,
that spot?
That's right. Oh. And once you're there, once you have that shot, where do you think it's going to lead?
Right.
How many Pamela Andersons are there?
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
How many Farrah Fawcetts are there? One.
Right.
How many, you know what I mean? Like, out of all the thousands of girls that went through the doors,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking tens of thousands
yeah.
that walked through the doors that didn't get anything,
yeah.
but out of the thousands that appeared in the magazine, how many do you remember?
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah. yeah. Or the ones that were murdered or died?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the point is that I had to break it down and go, listen, here's the deal. And they hated me for this, by the way.
Who's they?
Well, the people that
the
ran
Playboy
the mansion.
Mansion. Yeah.
Like, Hef and I had a great understanding because from what I was told, and I know there's this whole Secrets of Playboy thing, but like what I was told was that all the women that I knew that dated him or that were in the bedroom with him always said he was a gentleman,
mm.
always said he treated them with respect, and always said that he was classy. And I took a lot of what I did in my life dating multiple women at
right.
one time based on watching what he was doing
mm-hmm.
and how he treated women with mm-hmm. respect, because that was always at the forefront for me. It was always about making sure that they felt respected, making sure that I was honest and open and transparent.
Right.
Even if I was completely destroyed and ruined because women lied to me, cheated on me, and broke my trust, it didn't mean that I had to be the same. So if I was going to, you know, like after my second marriage, I decided I was just going to have open relationships. That was the way it was going to
mm-hmm.
be. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to have open relationships, but I'm always going to be honest and I'm always going to communicate
mm-hmm.
and I'm always going to tell them, hey, I'm dating other girls. And if you're not okay with that, that's okay. I understand. We don't have to date. We can just be friends. If you are okay with it, maybe you'd like to meet them because you'll see very quickly that I don't lie to them and I don't lie to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's all one big family and either you love it or you don't love it. And if you don't love it, that's okay. You don't have to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But always stay honest. Always stay open. Always stay communicative.
What would the ladies say to
yeah,
that when you would tell
curious.
Them?
99.9% of the time, they were like, sounds good. Introduce me to the other girls.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would they ever get into relationships?
Absolutely. I mean,
wow.
that's what it was.
Right.
That's what, before we started Corey's Angels, I had 10 girlfriends. That would come in and come out, and girls would stay 3 days at a time, 4 days at a time, and then they'd leave.
That's a lot of fucking, Corey.
Yes, it is. And I never
I'm like,
wanted.
Jesus Christ. But
no
I guess
idea.
With 10, you as a woman, you're like, okay, you can have tonight. I'm,
so,
you know.
So,
but it wasn't even like that. It was like we would all play. And then
right.
when somebody was tired or wanted a break,
right.
they would go to their own room and they would go sleep. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
it was just always fun. It was
right.
always fun. And it was always open and it was always honest and people could communicate whatever they want.
I mean, I've been to your parties.
Yeah.
I've been to Corey's Angels parties. Everybody was having a fucking great time.
Right. But those weren't sex parties.
No.
Right.
Yeah. No,
I was
no,
gonna
no,
ask.
No.
I was like, is it a sex party?
No. But that's the thing is that the people that were jealous of it that wanted to destroy it tried to make
know.
It seem like it was something
yeah.
that it wasn't.
No, we were like dancing, playing pool, and
exactly.
like no, there was like a DJ.
Are you and Courtney
and...
like that now?
We're
from time to time.
Let's put it this way. We're open-minded people.
Oh, okay.
But we're not anything like I was at one time.
Do you think you could be monogamous with one person?
Could I be, or is that a choice?
Could you be?
Of course. Yeah, but...
But it has to be a choice, right?
It has to be a choice because the thing is I've been hurt so much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That going into our relationship, the idea was she came into the middle of me having 10 girlfriends. Mm. You know, and it was like she got the same spiel.
Right.
I'm not looking for a relationship. If you want to be a part of it, you're welcome to be a part of it. But she was coming from an abusive relationship, so she needed my help. Mm. So I was like, look, I'll be your friend. I'll be there for you. I'll support you through this transition. But don't expect me to be your boyfriend because I've got other girlfriends and I'm here as your friend primarily. And we can have fun, you know, friends with benefits. But just don't expect it to be a relationship. She's like, totally fine because I don't want that either.
And what was it
totally
about her?
Fine.
Yeah.
It was the fact that she wasn't jealous. She wasn't competitive. She didn't tell me I have to be the main one. Because even when you had those 10 girlfriends, there would always be one that would feel like they were getting closer to the to
it's
the
like
edge.
The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It becomes that inadvertently. And I didn't want that. And I would always say, look, everybody's treated with the same love, the same respect. I don't ever want there to be favorites. I don't want anybody to feel like they've got an edge over the other one. And then they start playing, you know, pissy games and being rude and crappy to each other.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want love, 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 love. Mm-hmm. So that was always the vibe. But Courtney came in and she was just like, totally get it. Here's what she said to me. The first time she slept with me, she said, listen, I don't care how many women are in the room with us. All I care about is that I have one side every night. So it doesn't matter how many people are in the bed. I just care that I get one side of you every night.
Huh.
And I was like,
aww,
that is the sweetest thing I've ever heard. And because you're so sweet.
You're going to get it?
Well, but I didn't even... It wasn't a, there wasn't like an ultimatum.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
At any time she could have left or at any time I could have said that's enough. But it was, we just said fine. I said, yes, of course. You're so beautiful and so sweet. And the fact that you would say that, of course, automatically, yes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then she never pushed it. It was never like, oh, this girl's got to go or that girl's da da da. You know, she never talked crap about anybody. She just loved everybody. And what I would see over and over was that they were trying to talk crap about her.
Of course.
They were trying to push her out. They were trying to make her look bad. Mm. And I would watch and I would see that there was no attitude coming from her. There was no whispering in my ear. None of that stuff, you know?
Right.
And that's what made me realize through the years, this is a really down girl. This girl is like got my back. She's a real human being.
Are you going to have
cancer?
She's
not looking. I plan to.
Yeah.
Eventually. We're not there yet. But my son is almost 18.
Yeah, yeah.
He's at the final stages.
Right.
So making sure we got it right, you know? Got to get it right the first time.
He's a good kid, right?
Yes, very good. Very good. He's never been arrested.
Good,
he's never come home drunk. He's
good.
Never, I mean, none of it.
Good.
You know, I'm very blessed. Very blessed. He's very focused because he wants to be an MMA fighter.
Oh.
He's training every day.
I just watched the fight the other night.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I was watching for these two chicks that were fighting, and it was the worst fight ever. It was the chick Rose that she held the world champion belt, and then she was competing against Cookie Monster, and neither one of them. There was like four rounds where none of them did anything.
Oh wow!
They were just like sparring.
Oh, we
were like
in the ring together.
Even Jagger was like, "Girls, do something!"
something.
I was like my 3-year-old.
Right?
I was like, oh my god!
Well,
anyway,
we went to the Apex over the summer last year, and I got to take him to the. We were actually in the VIP circle or whatever for the. What's his name? Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump was there. Oh, he was like five rows in front
of
us.
Jesus.
It was so weird.
That's surreal.
It's kind of creepy. It was a lot of fun and a ridiculous amount of money to pay for those tickets.
I'm sure.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
Oh my God. But anyway, yeah. So he wants that. He wants to be a pro MMA fighter.
Okay.
But he's got to kind of get his way up the ranks as a boxer first. But he's, you know, his name
is. He's disciplined.
His name is Zen.
Yeah.
And he fits. It's the title.
Okay.
Like I don't think I've ever heard him really raise his voice.
Wow.
Like he raises his voice, but I've never heard him like yell and like scream and like get all crazy. Like I've never heard that.
I don't think I can imagine you screaming either.
It's rare.
Yeah.
It's rare.
You've
I have
always
to be really,
been sort
really
of,
angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you'd have
sort
to
of mellow.
You'd have to like kind of tell me that people were like in severe danger or
right.
like something was like my whole plan was about to be
right.
blown up or
why do you think you get so much shit? Like I know you got so much shit for Corey's Angels. Do you think people just don't fucking get it?
No, I think that there's people that are literally out there 24/7 whose jobs are to destroy my image, destroy my credibility, and make people second guess who I am as a person.
Do you think a lot of people do that to people in general nowadays?
I think gaslighting and all of that is very prominent in our life because people are very jealous. Yeah. But this is a conspired thing. This is very different. Millions of dollars have been spent to destroy my image. Millions of dollars. Like, this goes on every level, from them holding back some of my greatest work as an actor, where they will make sure that if a film is great and looks like it's an Academy Award nomination type, you know, performance, they make sure it doesn't get a theatrical release in America, no matter what. Like, stuff like that.
What are some films that you're super proud of?
The fact that, like, for example, my Wikipedia page has been completely taken over and dominated by the cult group that's been trying to destroy my image. So, like, if you go on IMDb right now, all of the awards, all of the accolades from, like, you know, humanitarian awards or changing the laws to help animals or protect children, none of that can be found. Instead, you'll find fake, fictitious links to tabloids that have false accusations gaslighting me, which started only when the movie came out from these three girls who were sent in as spies. It's all complicated. Yeah. But the bottom line is, like, Marilyn Manson was behind it. You know, the people that I called out in the film, the documentary, were behind it. Like, all these people worked together. And it started way back. Like, literally the first time I ever read anything bad about me ever was right when I turned 18. Mm. So that shows you how lined up it is.
Yeah.
Well, how lined up it is. This is a systemic thing they do with children actors. Yeah. I'm sure the first time you had anything written bad about you was when you turned 18.
They want to
take the power away by lessening your seriousness, your credibility, so that if you're going to come forward with certain information, they already have the upper hand to take the strike. If you're a good person in their eyes and don't talk about things that you shouldn't talk about, you'll probably get another shot. Mm. You'll probably get a chance to revamp your career and go even further. But if you're somebody who's trying to make a difference, or you're somebody that's, you know, being honest about things, they squash you down. Right. So this has been going on very perpetually, and especially since I put my book out. So when my book came out in 2013, that's when the first attack from Vice Magazine happened, where it was, like, global.
Yeah.
Every single... I had no idea who Vice Magazine was.
Right.
We let him into a Corey's Angels party thinking, you know, they were just going to write a normal story about us. No big deal, right? And then we find out that the whole thing was a setup. They were having girls, like, coming out of bushes and, like, taking pictures of them coming out of bushes, or, like, you know, like, putting the lighting, like, super bright so that it, like, made everybody look like they were cracked out, because you're looking all, like, washed out and pale, and, like, there's actually strobe and colored lights going on.
Yeah, yeah,
but they wash it out, so it looks like you're cracked out. Like, so they were doing, like, really, really terrible stuff with the photography. And then they got me to approve the article by writing the article that didn't look so bad, but all of the really bad stuff is in the captions. And there was no captions there because the photographs weren't in the place when they sent me the approval for the draft. So basically they sent me a draft with no pictures, with no little, you know, things underneath the pictures, so you couldn't see what was being said. But all of the insults and all of the really degrading stuff was hidden in there. So I approved the article. And then that one of their big things was, what does he mean he's got a problem with it? He approved it.
Wow.
He had full approval and we gave him the approval. You know,
damn.
They're so dirty. They're so dirty. They hurt me so badly. Destroyed my company.
Ugh.
And we were there, like I said, to help these women. Like, the whole point of this thing was to help women, give them a chance. They didn't have to go to Playboy. They didn't have to get naked.
Right.
They didn't have to sell themselves short. We're like, hey, you can still be sexy. You can wear sexy lingerie and look classy, like Victoria's Secret, you know, and use that as your stepping stone so that then you can do professional work. And you've never taken your clothes off. You've never gotten naked. You haven't, like, lessened yourself, if that's what you want to consider it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we gave them the opportunity to do that. And we were building entire profiles for these women based on their art. And that was the whole idea. And unfortunately, a couple bad apples got in. As I said, they were sent in purposely to destroy the whole thing and hurt our credibility, coupled with a Vice attack. It was all very well orchestrated and...
So here's a psychological question. The whole girls like bad boys, girls make sense. It's a forbidden thing, and I get why women, including myself, like the villains in, say, superhero movies like Loki, Winter Soldier, Poison Ivy, etc., because there's something fun yet redeemable about them. My question is, why do you think so many are attracted to horror movie villains who are just straight murderers? I remember watching the OG Halloween.
I don't know. Why did Charles Manson get married while he was in Pageantry?
Yeah, I know, right? So I remember watching the OG Halloween as a girl, and while I love Laurie, I was entranced by Michael, the same with Norman Bates in Psycho. Cut to me watching Scream at like age 10, and while I definitely had a thing for Sydney, I distinctly remember having a sexual awakening watching Bill and Stu's pseudo-sexual reveal as the killers.
I did too.
I thought I was weird for a while until I got into the horror community and I found many others with the same experience. But most agree that we don't have any attraction to real-life killers. So I'm not sure why we like it in film. Any thoughts?
Richard Ramirez is pretty hot.
He is pretty hot.
I told Ski Ulrich. I told him. I was like, I fantasized about you when I was a kid.
Of course.
Dude, when I saw you in Scream.
Of course. But what if he wasn't attractive?
He was just a really good-looking guy.
Yeah, what if he was, like, not hot?
Wasn't licking blood, that scene where the blood is coming out of his mouth, like, I was like...
Yeah, baby, doing it for me.
But she also thinks Charles Manson was hot.
Oh, no.
I liked his voice.
You did?
I liked his voice.
Gross.
I liked his voice.
No, gross.
His voice is like
disgusting worms
and snakes.
I kind of like it.
Hey, girl,
so
how you
gross.
Doing? You're pretty freaking sexy. Why don't you come over here and join my little cult?
Would you play Charles Manson?
No.
No?
But I'll do his voice for 2 seconds on the radio.
You would probably, you'd be fucking amazing, Charles Manson.
Yeah, no.
So what do you
think? And then that would be it forever. Yeah. Okay? Corey Feldman is Charles Manson. Yeah, that would be, I'm done.
My cheeks are hurting from laughing so much through this podcast.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I mean, but if...
Don't hold me responsible.
So do we know why or we don't know why? If Skeet wasn't hot in the movie, like, why are people... Are people really attracted to real murderers now?
Skeet was, like, the better-looking version of Johnny Depp. I'm sorry, but I said it.
Oh, go, Skeet! Go, Skeet!
He was. I mean, I'm not saying he isn't still an attractive man. I'm sure he is. In fact, I think I saw a recent picture of him, and he still looks pretty good.
Yeah, he was just
great.
On our show.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Did, were you all moist?
We should have...
did you leave a puddle behind after this?
No, we're too far into the friend zone for
right,
that.
Right,
there's
you,
nothing
gotcha.
Over here.
Gotcha.
Oh, my goodness. Your song, Former Child Actor.
Yes.
Will you read some of the lyrics for me? I printed it out for you in case you don't remember because you
it's
don't
been a while.
Say it. Just
and
read.
We actually don't perform that one on stage.
Because, you know, Scout and I are kid actors, so
yeah.
Obviously you know
I think
that.
It works for all of us, right?
Yeah,
that's
so
why
I
wrote
it
as kind of an anthem for all of us.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, and I thought we'd kind of end on it a little
bit. And you know that I actually co-wrote this with Rick Springfield.
Rick Springfield. Whoa.
So here's the
yes.
deal. And funny thing is I called Rick and I said, Rick, you know, our song is out and it's da-da-da-da-da, and he's like, I don't remember writing that song with you. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I mean, I remember we wrote a song together. I just don't remember it being that. And I'm like, well, that's... And then I found my notes years later as I was going and looking through the box set stuff, trying to put this box set together. And I actually found the original song was called Condition Idol. So, Rick, if you happen to hear this, that's what happened because I lost his number, so I haven't told him. But the original song was called Condition Idol. And it was the same verse lyrics. I changed the chorus to make it Former Child Actor. But yes, it was called Condition Idol, which the whole concept was, you know, being a teen idol and being locked in a cage and not being... Being able to have a voice or a personality or anything after that. So what it's, and this was definitely Rick and I wrote this first part together. I've been boxed in, locked out, shut down. I want so much more. You can't see me. You can't free me. I am just your whore. I watch the faces turn away. The work I do is all in vain. I look around for someone to blame. I could have been great. I could have been a contender, but now I can't do shit because I'm a former child actor. My message is strength, and that should be a factor, but no one gives a crap because I'm a former child actor.
Damn.
The war I will rage, no, it's the war I will wage is like a nuclear reactor, but the headline still reads, he's just a former child actor. And even though that don't mean shit to you, I still got to sleep with me.
Ugh.
That's just the first verse and chorus.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you guys can relate. You guys can relate with that.
Yeah.
Good.
Can don't get us
we
into that
ever.
That makes me feel, you know, that actually makes me feel really happy. That gives me a lot of pride.
Oh,
thank
we
you.
Can relate, Corey.
I'm glad. Thank you.
100%.
So, you know, when I wrote the song, when I released it, and this will be a quick one, but when I released it, I performed it live at Tower Records on Sunset, when Tower Records on Sunset was still a thing, and MTV came down and they filmed it, and that was when Timberlake was just starting. Okay. And they came down and they said, you know, there's this whole thing going around MTV News right now saying that Justin Timberlake is trying to steal your act. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, you know, because he does like the whole MJ thing and he's like stealing your act and you were doing this first. So what do you have to say to him? And I was like, I'm just a former child actor. I mean, hey, what do you want me to say? But anyway, so we did this song and we were releasing this at Tower Records and it was just like, I thought, what a great idea it would be to get all of the old actors that I grew up with to come out on stage with me and sing it like an anthem, like a chorus. And, you know, I called Todd Bridges. Mm-hmm. I called this one, that one, and everybody's like, no. We don't want to be a part of this. This is your own thing. We don't want to be a part of it. Because, like, it was, like, all this ego stuff. And then, next thing you know, they do Dickie Roberts.
Right.
And they actually used one of my songs in Dickie Roberts and paid me a lot of money to be in one scene in that movie. And then, all of a sudden, they called me up and said, oh, there's this other scene. Corey Haim's going to do it. Would you just come and sing in the chorus for 2 seconds? We're doing, like, this We Are the World of child actors.
Okay.
But it wasn't. It was all TV people that had done, like, one hit TV show. And it was very different than me and Corey. And we didn't belong there.
Yeah.
And I felt like, now here we go again.
Right.
You're trying to pigeonhole me on top of my pigeonhole.
Right, right.
And you're trying to rebox me into another box besides the box you already had me in.
Right.
Like, it's so insulting.
I know.
It goes on and on.
We are former child actors.
So you get it.
I get it.
But guess what? You're a lovely, beautiful woman with a lovely, beautiful family.
Thank you.
And you've done very well for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you
are a lovely
too.
Woman as well. And maybe you don't have the family yet, but you've got all the makings.
Soon.
All
you're
the makings
gonna get it.
Of an incredible family.
Yes.
And in the meantime, come out with Courtney and I and we'll show you a good time.
We will be front row in Texas for
show. You better be.
And then I want to be invited to that strip club with you guys.
Wait, what strip club?
Wherever we're going to go after.
Oh, I don't know about all that. We're on tour, girl.
Thank you, Corey, for being here.
Thank
really.
You
and
so
you guys,
much.
Please get this on his website and wherever
please.
Else it's sold.
CoreyFeldman.net.
Yes, it's pretty fucking awesome. So
thank you so
thanks,
much.
Corey. Bye, guys.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Peace and
love.